Welcome to Shaken and Stirred. It's a James Bond rewatch podcast for diehard 00s and franchise first-timers alike. My name is Evan Atkinson. I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Alex 00 Doherty. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing pretty all right, you know? Gloomy day. Perfect for some Pierce Brosnan.
Ooh, he's a gloomier. He's no Timothy Dalton gloominess level.
But he gives something about him says sunny day with a bit of clouds. Mm-hmm. And that day is a bit rainy.
There's like he's
like fog.
He's got a little bit of edge to him. Not too much. That's we save all the M in these movies or all the edge in these movies for M.
It's true. She's the one pushing boundaries.
God, but I'm really that's what I'm most excited for in this movie. Right? Is just to be able to see Judi Dench again.
I feel like we're really going to get a true progression of character because we know that she lasts for so long. So it'll be kind of fun to see.
I'm very excited for that. Today, we're watching 1997's Tomorrow Never Dies, the year of our birth.
Wow.
We'll see what impact this had on our lives. Yeah, we'll see. Because, you know, we like Moonraker was right after Star Wars, like, and that really influenced Moonraker. Like, we were born maybe a couple months before this came out.
So
there's actually a good chance this was before we were born. We're September babies.
Oh, fuck.
You know, month 9 of 12, there's a good chance.
Or they were inspired by the last 3 months.
That's true. Mother Teresa's death happened in September 1997.
And my Mother Teresa.
Well, no, I am, because she died the day I was born, and God said there could only be one, and so she made room for me, this next Messiah.
When did your mom tell you that?
Anyways, we're excited to watch this movie. I have never seen, I don't know anything about all the other Pierce Brosnans. I've only ever, like, known anything about Goldeneye.
Really?
So I'm like, lost for the rest of these. I know at one point we're going to get a Bond girl named Dr. Christmas Jones.
Interesting.
I think Halle Berry's in one of these.
Hell yeah.
That's it, though. I don't know anything about this one.
I'm excited to recognize more and more characters.
That's true. We're getting into that of, like, people who are still very famous.
And we know.
And alive. Mm-hmm. Alex, what do you think is going to happen in Tomorrow Never Dies?
Well, I think that they're going to go and spend a lot of time in the Middle East and a bit of Morocco.
Okay.
I think we are going to be grappling with technology. I feel like it's going to be a lot of the turn of the century vibes. Ooh, I forgot to guess how many pieces of transportation I think he's going to go on.
Transportory. Okay. Yeah. What do you think?
It's going to take 4 modes of transportation. They've really been slowing down that game. They're going to focus more on cars.
Oh, okay. I 4 is safe. That's good.
Right.
All right. Tomorrow Never Dies. I think, like, I want to guess something off the title, but so few of these have a title that actually, like, really plays into the plot at all. Like, A View to a Kill. I'm pretty sure they're like, approaching the Golden Gate Bridge, and Christopher Walken just says, A View to a Kill. And then they go into the next scene. It's like, that's nothing.
Like, that's no reference.
So I don't think Tomorrow Never Dies has anything to do with it. I think we're going to go to China. We haven't been to Asia in a little bit. And I think it's getting easier to film in Asia around this time.
For sure.
So I'm going to guess we're going to go to Asia. I think we're going to get into... Well, dot-com boom seems very good. I feel like media, like we've had a lot of people try to blow up the world, but what about convince them of something?
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Ooh, I like that.
I feel like it's going to be like whoever our villain is, I feel like they're like a famous person.
Oh, hell yeah.
But I don't know. I'm very excited to find out. We have to see, like, Goldeneye was good.
Mm-hmm.
Can Pierce keep it rolling? The box office says,
Really?
Well, people still liked it, but like his reviews started tanking quick, and that's why they were like, we got to bring in our boy,
a new guy.
Pierce Brosnan only has 4.
Wow.
Daniel Craig is the longest serving Bond.
Oh, but not most about movies.
Not most movies, but he's been Bond the longest.
Good for him.
Which is interesting.
And he's ruse every day.
Yeah, he hates it. I love that. I don't think anybody should be president that wants to be president. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody that is James Bond should want to be James Bond.
I agree.
They should really fucking hate it.
It signs your death note.
That's why every Daniel Craig movie is him rebelling against MI6.
100%.
Like, I don't want that.
Because James Bond doesn't want to be James Bond, except for when he's fucking.
It's true. All right, we're going to watch Tomorrow Never Dies and come back a little bit more shaken, a little bit more stirred, tell you what we think.
Bye.
We just watched 1997's Tomorrow Never Dies. Right off the bat, this is a banger.
Yeah, well, I think we were both right, too.
Okay.
We were more right.
I want to disclose, I feel like I cheated. I knew a couple things about the remaining three Pierce Brosnan movies. One takes place in China. One is about a media mogul. And then, like I said, there's a Dr. Christmas Jones. Those are the three things I know about the remaining three Bond movies. I called two of those shots. They both happen to be in this movie.
Yeah, that's right. That's
I love this movie, honestly.
It was really, really good.
Do you want to give us like a plot recap? I always do it, but I feel like...
Sure.
You seem very confident.
You know, we'll see if I remember. So the gist of this movie is there's a media mogul who decides he's going to create the news. So he gets a crazy secret ship that stalks these other ships. And with satellites,
Ship is in spaceship, airship.
No, obviously we're in boats.
What kind of boat?
It's a stealth boat. So it's a boat that goes underwater. Nope. You can't tell. It was fully underwater.
Not at one point. Not at all.
What do you mean?
No. Okay. All right.
I mean, it did look like a little hashtag.
No. Yeah. Okay. This boat is above water. It just can't be picked up on radar. That's its whole thing.
Oh.
That's the only thing.
That's why it's underwater?
No. That's why they only go at night. Because they're only going to look at radar. No one's going to just look outside.
That's fair.
That's it.
Because no one does. You're underwater.
No. If you're on a boat, probably chilly above deck. Yeah. You just want to stay inside.
So there are no submarines?
There was not.
I figured everyone was in a submarine.
No, there was. No, we got a lot of submarines in previous Bond movies. Not a single submarine in this one.
But so let's take it back. So it's about me to be a mogul. His name's Carver and yep. Elliot Carver, to be exact. And he's going about making news. And by making the news, he's killing a lot of people. He's causing the British soldiers to accidentally enter Chinese waters when they thought they were in international waters, which leads to a whole big amount of disputes. He gets to the news first. Everyone's like, wow, Carver News is the best news. But that means James Bond is like, must be bad news bears.
Must be bad news. He gets to the news way too quick.
Way too quick. So turns out Carver's wife, Paris, is James Bond's ex. So he tries to fuck her to get some information. Turns out he just falls back in love again. He learns all of the things he needs to know about Carver. Carver kills his wife, though, in retaliation. Gets to the news before him. Who have I missed so far? Oh, we also have a separate news lady that we meet at this party when we are introduced to Paris. We just know her name's Wei Lin and she works for the news. Turns out we see her everywhere James Bond goes. She's a spy.
This is an absolute tornado.
I feel like I'm half doing there.
Okay. No, you got it. You're half there.
I feel like she, yeah. So, you know, at this point, Paris is dead. James Bond is still doing spy things. Mm. I don't really know what he accomplishes, though, at the first place. Well, long story short.
Here, can I sum up
yeah.
the plot of this movie in like yeah. one sentence?
Uh-huh.
You already said it.
He gets the news.
Elliot Carver makes the news.
Yeah. That's really it.
That rules.
It's pretty sick. He gets to news fast and furious.
He is trying to start a war between China and Britain. He steals a missile from a British ship, sinks it, and then he's going to take his little stealth boat, sail into the British Navy, get China pissed off with Britain so that they attack the British Navy, and then fake a missile strike on Beijing and start the news. By doing that, Carver is going to get 100 years of exclusive media rights in China. Basically, he has a satellite news network, magazines, newspapers, which it's so funny how like important that is, but how immediately outdated that becomes as soon as the internet comes out.
But he's got satellites.
That's true. He has this global news network, but the only place he can't broadcast is China. And so the whole plot of the movie is him trying to get essentially broadcast rights for China.
Bum, bah,
bah. Like Alex said, we have another spy in this one. It's Michelle Yeoh's Wei Lin, who is my favorite Bond girl.
100%.
Not, can't even be qualified as a Bond girl, honestly. Mm-mm. A Bond woman.
She's her own. No, she's just a spy that's also in this film.
This movie felt like a Mission Impossible movie to me. Mm-hmm. There's wacky Bond stuff, but it's just kind of a bunch of spies being good at their job.
Yeah, I feel like it was a good combination because we were mentioning last movie, good action movie. Wasn't very Bond. This one still gave us like silly little moments of fighting in like weird furniture and being in like having a newspaper fight.
Newspaper like, fight was good.
It was still kind of silly.
I think this movie was more horny than Goldeneye.
For sure.
I think they were like,
he bit people's shoulders twice.
Oh, he's brushing up on a little Danish, mm-hmm. which is kind of yucky the more I say it, because he was at Oxford, which means she was a college student.
Was he? I thought he just said Oxfordshire fun, like he was learning Danish, but he was
he was having sex with a college student.
It could have been a professor.
That's hopeful. Yeah.
James Bond doesn't fuck young people. He's made that clear in the previous movies when he was an old man.
Debatable.
That's
true. You remember BB? BB doll?
No, he never fucked her. They didn't have that show. Just trying to make sure that she got to a good pop.
Yikes. Let's talk about the cold open for this movie. It opens with the lower third saying, quote, a Russian terrorist arms bazaar, which is the most like nothing location.
Yeah.
I like that it says like a Russian. So it's implying
there's many.
There's a bunch, but like James Bond found this one.
Yeah. We don't have to specify.
So unnecessary. But James Bond is there. M and the rest of MI6 is in a control room. Surveying the situation, and this British general is flying off the handle, and he's like, I see that the Russians, he's British,
but he carries that energy.
But he
has the energy of, you know, exactly who he is. In
I'm gonna shoot a missile at them right now.
Mm-hmm. And turns out it was a bad decision.
He shoots a missile, then a truck moves, and they're like, oh shit, there's nukes here, we should not have shot a missile at this. And there's a random Russian guy in the room who goes, that would be. That's not, oh my God, my accents are all, I have like accent aphasia right now. He goes, whatever, a Russian guy goes,
yes.
If you hit the nukes, it'll be 10 times Chernobyl, which I think is maybe recent. When did Chernobyl was like 83?
Yeah, 10. I mean, people were definitely,
I don't know, everyone's thinking about Chernobyl.
On an active day-to-day
basis. On a day-to-day basis. So Bond has to basically rates this missile to get the nukes out of there. So he steals the nuke jet and, you know, gets into a dogfight with another jet.
Gets into a joust.
Gets into a jet joust.
Yeah, because he's on the ground fully.
they escape. They're in the air. James is flying the nuke jet. Another jet is chasing him. The jet that James stole, the co-pilot wakes up after he had knocked him out and starts trying to strangle him,
mm-hmm.
while the second jet behind him is dogfighting him and try to shoot him down. James gets to a point where he's choking and the second jet starts hovering over top of him and he hits the ejector seat,
epic.
Shooting his co-pilot through the bottom of the jet above him and into where he would have sat.
Yeah.
And he says, backseat driver. And then And then we get to the title.
Sick. It was a pretty epic beginning. I didn't know where they were going for a bit. They did one of those like, oh shit, it's Jason Bourne things where they were talking about our guy in the field. And
yes.
He just had to assume it's James Bond.
Ooh.
And then you see him and it's like, oh, it turns out he's saving the day. It was very fun.
That's true. I forgot about the power of a bunch of analysts in a room talking about a killing machine.
Literally.
And how good that is to watch.
Especially like, you have M being on the other side.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, my God. Judi Dench is back.
She's like, it's my man out there.
Then we get to the song. Alex, what'd you think about the song? Shouldn't have asked you that.
No, it's okay.
We get to the song.
I thought the song was pretty fun. I thought the opening was pretty entertaining. It started with like a big bang of glass everywhere. And it was just a bunch of like overlays of like guns having like x-rays and like breaking down the parts of a gun. It's pretty cool.
Straight up, the songs often outshine the title sequence. Mm-hmm. Like the visual
title sequence is usually ugly.
It's usually bad, or like in a lot of times pretty problematic.
Yes.
This one, I thought it was so of the era, but I thought it was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it looked like a TSA x-ray.
Yep. It was a well done, but still James Bondy intro.
Yeah. And the song ripped. It was Sheryl Crow. I'm going to listen to it on my bike ride home tonight. I tell you what.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was really good.
It was understated, but like a good tune.
I think for my money, mm-hmm. we have not seen a combo of title sequence and title song this powerful since Goldfinger.
Wow.
We've heard better songs, but the title sequence is like, eh. This one was like firing on all cylinders.
I might need to scroll up to see some of my opinions, but honestly, I don't think you're wrong.
I want to come in early and tell you who I vote is the most British person in the movie.
Yep.
It's the director, whose name is Roger Spottiswood.
Yeah, there are some crazy names in the title sequence. How about Dickie Beer?
Dickie Beer?
That's mine.
Dude, what are the... Who they'll just let anybody make these? Cubby Broccoli died, and so they say,
yeah, bro.
I get some other people in the crazy name department.
Sean Connery's like, I hate you, Broccoli.
Oh, I mean, yeah, this movie was dedicated to Albert Cubby Broccoli, who's the producer for all the movies up until this point. Sean Connery notoriously hated him. That's why he made Never Say Never Again.
Good song.
It's pretty great fucking movie. Alex, what are some of your highlights?
I would definitely say a highlight. We mentioned it before, but I gotta say the women, the Bond girls, the sexual tension in the film were just like top notch and didn't feel bad, which is cool.
This is Michelle Yeoh corner.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
It was scene after scene.
She is the whole time she shows up, she's undercover as a member of like, I guess the Chinese media, like a news anchor.
Mm-hmm.
Elliot Carver sniffs Bond out immediately.
Definitely.
Like, that guy's a spy.
There's no way he's a banker.
There's no way he's a banker. He has a great bank record. All bankers are terrible people.
Literally.
So he has to be a government agent.
He's also recorded on video talking about a gun underneath his pillow.
That's true.
So not great spying on his side.
And then I guess he kills his wife because of it. For honestly, no other reason.
Other than the fact that she fucked Bond.
That's true. Yeah, no, that, yeah.
And gave up the location of his home.
I was about to say, that's fair. No one should ever. Hey, this is PSA. Shake it and stir the podcast believes no one should ever kill their wives. But he never figures out Wei Lin.
Mm-mm.
Until they're spotted together.
Literally the end.
So they kind of have like this will they, won't they cat and mousey relationship of like where he's breaking into. She's kind of already there. A little bit one step ahead of him.
Once ahead of him, the second time after him, which has been kind of fun.
It's good, yeah. So it's a good thing. It reminds me of the Fast and Furious franchise. What the Fast and Furious franchise could never do, which mm-hmm. is let Vin Diesel be lesser than anyone.
Yeah.
Like what Bond does in the more recent movies, which I think is good, is like he's being outdone by people.
Yeah.
Like in Live and Let Die, he's being outmatched by everybody he goes up against. And like, that's interesting because he's not just an uber powerful being. Definitely. Vin Diesel is contractually not allowed to lose.
It's true.
So like every time he matches up with someone, I'm like, oh, well, whatever. Doesn't matter. In this one, Pierce Brosnan has like a really good back and forth with Michelle Yeoh. Like sometimes he's on the back foot. Sometimes he's winning. But like it makes him feel very even and she keeps mm-hmm. turning him down too, which
is very fun.
Is even better. At one point they're showering together.
Oh, that part was like steaming. You definitely think in every other Bond movie, this would be a moment would have sex.
They're handcuffed together. They're showering together. She breaks out of the handcuff.
He's shirtless. She is in a white t-shirt.
Yes.
Like,
they're curly. Handcuffed. And she breaks down the handcuffs him to a shower and just pieces out.
Literally, he has not a clue. She is already out and ready to go.
And then she goes and beats up 23 guys.
Yep. He is like 8 steps behind. He does not figure out where she is until a whole 2 cars pull up to her like residence. That gives it away.
He gets in. She then reveals that's her spy headquarters.
He has 100 more things than him.
She has way better gadget.
Literally a whole, instead of a moment or like the whole wall turns into a map, it turns into like 27 computers. and he can't even use any of the machinery because apparently the one area he doesn't know is Cantonese.
Yeah. The one language he can't speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's, which is, it's troubling because we've seen him speak three languages in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, he sees a keyboard with Chinese characters on it. And he's like,
not for me.
I could fucking never. You better type.
Whoa. I was really holding my own until right now. And then there's an amazing moment of him doing his thing and her doing her thing. And he's just watching her and she's just doing normal stuff like typing on a computer and looking inquisitive. And it's like, he's admiring it. It was very beautiful.
The music cue kicks in and he's like, it's like, it's falling in love with her right now.
And like, she's like not naked. Usually they're naked.
Or he's just like rolling up on somebody and attacking them.
Yes.
And instead he's like, I think you're capable. And I love that.
Justice for pussy galore.
Justice for pussy galore. Oh my God. Someone who is capable. Take it before her time.
Mm-hmm.
That was Michelle Yeoh, absolute highlight of the movie.
Another highlight for you.
I honestly, okay. So this movie and I think the last movie both have BMWs as the Bond cars, which they don't look as striking as the Aston Martin.
Mm-mm.
But I think the Bond car is pretty good in this one.
Yeah.
As far as just like the gadgets all just worked well.
It had physical gadgets, like not in the way of just being rockets. Like it was kind of like the car was involved, which was fun.
It was the main Q shows up, Desmond Llewellyn, hashtag still alive.
Insanely wearing a red coat.
He picks him up in the airport and acts like he's a rental car guy. And he's like, please do not destroy this car. Of course, James has to destroy the car.
Must.
Q walks him out to this part of the airport where I guess the cheetahs are kept.
Yeah, I don't know where we are.
There's just a bunch of cages. There's like a tiger and a cheetah. And then Q opens a box and the BMW's in there. But like, that's not a part of an airport, right? The zoo part?
I don't know. Or pre-2001.
Anything can happen.
Literally that's anyone's how, getting on
the plane. That's how they hijacked the planes on 9/11 with leopards.
Did we mention that we were in Germany?
We're in Germany now. This movie takes place in Germany. Well, this part's in Germany when Q is giving him through the car. Mm-hmm. Most of it's in Germany.
Turns out that's where Carver is.
Carver's headquarters are in Germany, where all the press moguls hang out.
Yep.
So Q is walking Bond through all the features of his car. But the main one is he has a cool cell phone, which is pretty new, which slides open with a touchpad. And James can use the touchpad to essentially drive the car remotely, which
somehow went sexual.
It's not even somehow. Listen, you were paying attention to this scene and I had to be like, do you miss James Bond finger banging a car?
Like, what do you mean?
So here's what happened. Let me relay this to you firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
Q is like, let me show you how the touch screen works, 007. And he drives the car a little bit. It's jerking like, and he's like rubbing his finger around, like, and the car's like, start, stop. And James is like, I think I know how to touch it better. And like gets his little finger on it and like slowly and lovingly moves his finger around the trackpad and does fucking donuts with the remote control car.
Wow.
And us as the audience is like, if he can do that to a car.
That's very fair.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
What Michelle Yeoh has to look forward to.
Just implying that Q does not know how to go down on a woman.
No, and that's tough, but his hands are so terrifying.
It is just like little sausages.
Oh, not even. Those are hot dogs.
Those are hot dogs.
These hot dog figures. Michelle Yeoh is like, okay. So I thought the car was amazing. It also had a like the little BMW logo on the front, you know, like the little.
The branding?
The branding on the front pops up and there's like a very specific saw on there that cuts through a very specific rope.
Just in case.
Just in case you have a rope in that exact position.
It was really popular online. So, you know.
I don't know. Maybe all parking garages were just a big height of ropes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Maybe. I don't know. It was 1997.
I remember that.
We were barely alive. Late 90s kids, I remember.
Yeah. I would also say a highlight is the, as we were kind of mentioning before, but good old silliness and fun little locations. I feel like we were having like little moments with him that didn't feel like too cheeky. You know, we got to roll around in some big old barrels.
No, it was good. It was legit. Like every part of this movie, they would go for some, I wouldn't even say silly. I would almost say like heightened.
Mm.
Like it was magical realism.
Yeah.
Like they would go for some wacky stuff, but like.
It was just camp.
It was camp. Thank you.
I will have to say This is the first time that we've had, I know we've had scuba diving moments that are sexual technically between Bond and another lady. Yes.
That one movie, the Greek one, where James Bond does have sex in a scuba suit.
This one was still more charged and he just runs into Michelle down there. And he still thinks that's a news anchor.
Yeah. James is investigating the wreck of the ship that Carver sunk and runs into Michelle Yeoh down there. And then he's like, why the fuck is this news anchor scuba diving on this sunken secret warship?
It turns into a whole horror movie down there. Like, we were getting bodies dropping down on them, like, and it was all the characters that we met in the beginning of the movie, which was kind of fucked up.
That was very scary.
It was just like, hey, remember these guys in the intro? Now it's a slightly a horror film where they'll drop onto James Bond while swimming.
Another highlight for me, they did the old, like, 1960s Bond surf guitar theme.
Yeah.
And like in actual good places, because in the old 60s movies, it would be like Sean Connery, like sitting in a hotel room mm-hmm. and then they would play like dun 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 dun. But he was doing nothing. And this is like during a shootout that's playing in it.
Or he was like looking for something cool.
It makes a lot more sense.
I will say low light.
Oh.
Generally, the sound effects were pretty shitty.
They were little.
There was one that we specifically couldn't tell if it was James Bond coughing or throwing a shot glass, which I don't think is a good, like, or like smacking his lips. Like, I don't know.
That's true.
Great. But I will say that scene, he was really sexy, just slamming back shots, looking emotional.
A little disheveled in a tuxedo,
mm-hmm.
waiting for Elliot Carver's wife to show up.
As one does.
Maybe you didn't know that she was going to show up.
No, he assumed that she would, I think, but he was emotional because, like, M started this whole thing being like, fuck her for information.
Oh, and he was like, I want to fuck her for love.
Mm-hmm. And he forgets that just by the power of fucking that they'll always give up information.
That's true. Well, he should also know that the first person he has sex with in any movie has to die.
Yeah. How was his mistake?
It's a shame. Lowlights, I'm struggling, honestly, for lowlights. I think, I don't know if it was a lowlight or not, but there's this extended, like, motorcycle helicopter chase in China where Michelle Yeoh and James Bond are, like, handcuffed to each other. Michelle Yeoh has to keep switching between, like, straddling James or, sitting behind him as they evade this helicopter.
But they were both grappling onto the vehicle. They each had a hand on there.
Oh, they were both steering the bike?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind.
They were attached by one of their arms or attached together because they were handcuffed. So they were each one part of the bike.
Oh, my God. Absolute highlight.
That's pretty epic.
Okay. The only low light I have from that scene is the helicopter tilting itself 90 degrees to become just a whirring lawnmower blade and like slowly mowing down a street.
Yeah. A street that was, as M noted, totally empty for the entire car chase scene, which was pretty crazy because they were in a full city. There's just not a soul.
I don't have many lowlights. I mean, our villain, played by Jonathan Pryce, High Sparrow, Game of Thrones, also character actor who's been in like literally everything ever.
Mm-hmm.
Is Carver. He was kind of eating it up. I thought he was good. Low light, actually. There was a piece of dialogue. Carver's meeting with all of his like news affiliates from around the world.
Starts it.
He's like, what do we have? And this guy's like, oh, the prime minister, something, something. And he's like, oh, we'll release the sex tape we have of him or threaten to release it and see if he'll vote for us. And then even if he votes for us, she'll release it. And the guy goes, consider him slime. And I was like, consider him slimed? No one's ever said that before.
You forget that he opens the whole call with, good morning, my golden retriever.
That's true. Okay. That's, yeah. Honestly, we're talking about toxic workplace culture. It's this fucking guy.
Well, I do like the fact that he mentioned the fact that there's a bill for him to have to pay less money as a media conglomerate. There's just a lot of really wild references.
Okay, wait, that conversation, I wrote that conversation down. He's at a party. It's his launch of his network. And he's talking to a bunch of sycophants and they're all like, yeah, word of the day. And they're all like, oh, we love your stuff. We love your stuff. And he's like, oh, and it's probably not true that I ran a bunch of stories about mad cow disease in England when a famous beef baron lost $100 million to be a poker. And I was like, what kind of brag is that? I'm in deep with beef barons
and so
I'm
mad cow ruining
them with mad cow disease articles. It was incredibly specific and entirely terrible.
Yeah, I would agree for that
one. But still entertaining.
Yeah, I'm really wild to have fake news as a concept.
Plotline in 1997.
Yeah.
Alex, is there a favorite Bond moment? Are there any Bond moments we haven't gotten to that you're like, we need to talk about this? There's a lot of good lines for sure. Brushing up on old Dame Danish. Moneypenny at one point says, James, you've always been a cunning linguist.
Ooh.
Woof.
I wrote down, run around, wet man. You'll never find your princess.
Ooh.
That was
who said
you.
That?
That was you.
Oh. James Bond throws a man into a printing press and says they'll print anything these days, which as that scene was going on, we were like, they're going to say black and white, red all over. They're going to say black and white, red all over. Missed opportunity.
Yeah, I would say that would almost be a low light because they didn't make that joke at all.
Oh, actually, I have another low light in the Bond moment section. Michelle Yeoh and James Bond in the finale are hunting for this stealth boat in the South China Sea. They're trying to find it. And they're like, we've searched every cove. We're in our last cove. Like, we have to find it. And they're looking through their binoculars and they find the wildest looking fucking boat ever designed. And I think James Bond goes, are you sure that's it? And Michelle's like, yeah, of course. What do you mean, is that it? This boat is like a black metal. It has like legs on it.
Mm.
It looks like the crab from You Only Live Twice. What was that one? You know, the underwater one? They're all kind of blurring
together.
There's
like three underwater
ones. Which one had the underwater villain?
The one with the underwater fight scene or the underwater villain?
I think it was
the extent of what I think is like,
it was The Spy Who Loved Me.
Okay.
Yes. Any who's will be.
There's too many.
Doesn't matter. It was a lot of good quips in this though.
I would have to say a good Bond moment was there's a moment where James Bond is about to be assassinated. He hears about his assassination on the news, which was kind of fun. When he finds out that an unidentified male that was with Paris dies from killing himself, and he's like, wait, that would be me. And turns out there's a gunman there. And as he's about to shoot this guy, he goes, I don't, I'm a professional. And James is like, so am I, and uses his license to kill and shoots him. And kind of fun.
Let's talk about favorite characters. And let's segue into me immediately saying that guy, that assassin, is my favorite character in the movie.
He had a great accent.
Not only a great accent, that dude was in a comedy movie on his own. His name was, I'm pretty sure it was Dr. Kaufman. And Dr. Kaufman.
Yeah, that guy fought for him.
He's like, Dr. Kaufman is here. He's an assassin who kills Paris. And he goes, I am the pistol marksman. I'm very talented. I could kill you from Strasbourg and make it look like a suicide.
But he doesn't.
And he ends every sentence with, yeah. And James is like, hey, you don't have to kill me. Like, we can figure this out. And he's like, no, you don't understand. I'm really good at killing. Like, it's my whole thing. I think it's very fun to me. But he says it in that exact tone.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a grizzled henchman. He's not like this tough guy. He's not someone who's been forced to do this. He's like, I woke up this morning and was like, I really want to kill someone. And wouldn't you know, my employer texted me and said, guess what would be so good for you to do? I need you to murder a woman. And so I said, when and where? Totes, tell me how to do it. I'll go there.
Yeah.
Like, if you've seen Barry, he's exactly like the bald guy in Barry.
Yeah.
just a super positive henchman who's like, I'm ready to murder.
That feels like the inspiration for killing Eve.
And then James Bond, like you said, is about to kill him. And he goes, I'm just a professional doing a job.
And he thinks he's a banker still.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just trying to murder a banker, please. You're just a banker. Fuck my boss's wife. I have to kill you, make it look like suicide. I am Dr. Kaufman. I would love to see a separate movie about the crazy adventures of Dr. Kaufman.
I want to know the extent of his relationship with the henchman, because the henchman in the end is like laming off the reasons why he's killing James Bond.
Yes.
And Kaufman is the second name he lists.
He was like, he says earlier, he said he was like a father to me. He taught me how to torture people. When they're bringing out all those torture implements, he's like, you killed Dr. Kaufman. He taught me how to torture people. His record for torturing people was 52 hours before they died.
I'm going to
break that record. And I'm sure Dr. Kaufman was like, wee, this is so fun. We're on hour 51. I can't believe we're about to pass out. More, please.
Wait, that is so dark.
I'm fascinated by that guy. I want to know everything about him. Alex, is there a character you want to see a spinoff of from this movie? That's not the incredible Dr. Kaufman.
I'm going to have to give it to M this movie. I didn't feel like we got a lot of her, but what we did get was great. And I'd like to know more about what she's been up to at this time. I feel like she's bouncing around. She's having some good quips. Men are being mean to her. She's being fucking cruel back. It's great.
Yes.
And I'd like to give her a little award.
A little award. Someone says, like, with all due respect, I don't think you have the balls to do this. She says, I don't have the balls to do this, but that means I don't have to think with my balls all the time.
Well, she said it better than that.
Yeah, you're right. Well, she said it with a British accent, which I think improves most of it.
She said perhaps, but it means that I don't have to think with them all the time.
That seems pretty close to what I said. Alex, out of 10, what would you rate this movie?
I gave the last one an 8.5.
You gave the last one an 8.5 out of 10.
You did as well.
I did. I liked the last one a lot.
I did too, but this one I liked more.
I agree.
Dang.
What are you going to do?
I guess it's going to just have to be a 9 then.
Alex, you're giving this a 9.
You're not letting me go back anymore, right?
You can't change any previous ones.
I was like, that's like my favorite thing to do. Okay, I'll stick with that.
Listen, at the end, we're going to do a recap and we can change all of our scores.
Because Daniel Craig is going to be like tense.
I'll give it a 9. All right. I'm also going to give this movie a 9.
Yeah, where else can you go?
I could give it a 9. Here's the thing. This movie tickled me in ways that the Daniel Craig movies won't. I think the Daniel Craig movies are better made. They're better plotted. Like, there's interesting stuff. But there's not going to be, like, Jonathan Pryce doing fake kung fu and yelling at Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
Like, there's less campy moments, and it's not a 9.5 or a 9 on, like, technical ability to make these movies. It's a 9 in that I had a 9 out of 10 of a good time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a 9 out of 10 film and experience.
Yeah. Like, this is just a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll be really grumpy when I watch Quantum of Solace. Who knows?
Yeah, we ended it thinking that it was fast. I agree.
We didn't stay to the end of the credits, but I didn't see a James Bond will be back in blah, blah, blah at the end of this movie.
Wow, they're really keeping him on a
case-by-case basis.
Literally. All of the movies that he does sound really ominous in terms of, like, not, like, living on a long time.
Goldeneye is the only one that's like, all right, whatever, Goldeneye. And then it's Tomorrow Never Dies, The World Is Not Enough, Die Another Day.
Like,
yikes.
Drama.
Drama.
The next one then is Casino Royale.
Yeah. Ooh, we're having a fun time. Up next, we are watching the 1999 The World Is Not Enough.
My brother's birth year.
So we'll have to give him a call, see if he remembers anything about this movie.
Exactly.
Y'all, that'll do it for us today. As always, have a good time. Stay safe out there.
Goldfinger.